Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you doing?
You know, I like gummy bears as much as the next person, but I don't think I'd ever eat the gummy Venus de Milo. It's art more so than food, really.
If there's only one, yeah, I think I would preserve it as well. We'll have plenty of opportunity to discuss the what is art and candy. Before we get to this week's episode, we are brought to you by our supporters on Patreon, patreon.com/TheSimpsonsShow. For only $2 a month, you can get all of our bonus content, including new episode reviews, a weekly written piece by me, monthly bonus episodes. We are within sight of our next goal, which is 2 bonus episodes a month.
Double
the bonus content. I know Matt's already angry at me for making him do more work. We are working on our commentary track pack for our $200 reward level, and we have a couple people to thank, Matt.
We do. We have good friends.
Yep. The best people on earth. First, we have Nick G. Thank you, Nick.
Thank you, Nick.
And Andrew Rankine. Either way, thank you very much, Andrew.
Thank you, Andrew.
And of course, you can also help us out by going on iTunes or wherever you listen to us, whatever service you use. Give us a good review. Give us 5 stars. Subscribe. Those things help us out, help new people find the show. Obviously, word of mouth is great as well. We appreciate every time someone does that for us. This week's episode is Homer Badman, episode 2F06, originally aired November 27th, 1994, written by Greg Daniels, directed by Jeffrey Lynch, finished 50th in the ratings, Nielsen rating of 9.5, approximately 9.1 million viewing households. It was the highest rated show on Fox that week, beating Married with Children.
Well, after last week's Lisa on Ice, I'm sure people were excited about what was going to happen. And they were right to be.
I guess. It was also, this is like near Thanksgiving. I'm curious. I don't know if there's correlation there. The chalkboard gag, I will not whittle hall passes out of soap. It's, you know.
I don't know who would accept that hall pass, really. Maybe a really dirty safety patrol.
You know, I think it's like a Alcatraz reference.
Sure.
Prison. You know, schools like prison. Mm-hmm. Couch gag, the family chases the couch down an endless hallway. I like it. It's good.
Classic.
Yeah, it's a classic. The guest,
unexpected.
The guest star is Dennis Franz playing himself, playing Homer.
Which is sad because he only gets like 2 lines, but he does them really well.
Well, I mean, he's. We'll also get to that. The episode begins with Bart with the family in the kitchen at breakfast, which the show often does. Bart wishes the Lucky Charms were on marshmallows, which just wait, Bart, get your wish.
It's true. If only Bart were to exist today at this age, he could get giant bags of them from Amazon.
Really?
You didn't know that? You can buy giant bags of just marshmallows. It may be eBay, but I know somewhere you can get giant bags of just marshmallows.
From the Lucky Charm marshmallows? Or just like weird? Because they're not like normal marshmallows. They're like...
No. They've got some structure to them.
They've been like dehydrated a little bit or something.
Yeah.
We find out that Homer has tickets to a candy industry trade show. That he got from basically conning the Krusty Club Bar giveaway thing?
To be fair, I believe he conned Apu because he just sat in the Quickie Mart and opened every single one.
That's true, but I mean, like, that's still this, like, it's effectively, you are, it's conning the greater giveaway as a whole. Apu is the one that most immediately suffers. The kids are forced to... Why are you messaging? Oh, God. Now I got a link to marshmallows. Great. Okay.
Sorry, go on.
No, the kids want to go, but it is an adult event, obviously, for the candy industry.
Oh, yeah. Candy is only adults.
I'm sure there are candy conventions. Like, for... I think it's a greater...
I'm sure there are, too.
For, like... It's for, like... It's, like, business. It's not... It's for, like, for retailers and stuff like that. I don't think it's...
Right.
For...
It's like a McDonald's convention. You do not want to go there as a kid. They are boring as hell.
Have you been to McDonald's?
All giant. I have. The company I work for sells McDonald's displays, so it's all giant deep fryers and cash registers and totally non-fun stuff. There's no delicious food at all.
Well, some would argue that McDonald's has zero delicious food in general, but...
Yes, people with no taste buds would argue that.
Okay, Matt's a big fan. They are... Given a, they have a babysitter.
Well, that's a babysitter. No one in town will sit for you two anymore. I have to choose between a grad student at the university and a scary-looking hobo. Please, the hobo. Please, the hobo. Please, the hobo.
Hi, I'm Ashley Grant.
Oh. Ashley Grant! You gave a talk on women's issues at my school and how we don't have to be second-class citizens.
Mom, how can you leave us with this maniac?
Hurry, March. If we get there early, we can get our pictures taken with the two surviving musketeers.
Well, there's also a baby somewhere upstairs.
Somewhere upstairs, Matt.
Yep, there's a baby. No one knows. Don't bother checking on her.
Marge is wearing a gigantic coat that has hidden pockets everywhere.
Well, of course, I'm pretty sure it is. It's like a Homer's, like a London Fog kind of coat that he just sewed giant pockets into. Which is not a bad idea.
You are a proponent for large pockets.
Indeed, I am. Actually, multiple smaller and medium-sized pockets would be better. I don't know if Homer knows that, but they're more structurally sound.
Which is a problem later on. what is the... We just heard her name, and I've already forgotten it. What's the grad? Ashley.
Ashley Grant, I believe.
Ashley Grant. She shows that she has mastered the art of manipulation of men by taunting Bart with a copy of Disemboweler 4.
The game where criminals dig at each other with rusty hooks. That's my kind of game right there.
I believe that is like Manhunt is the modern comparison point.
Oh, I figured it'd be something like Postal.
I think Manhunt is specifically you are a prisoner or something and you are...
Oh, okay.
It's like, I don't know. I've never actually played that game. We cut to Homer and Marge at the candy convention. Homer is, of course, like a kid in a candy store. I get it. We see a variety of candies. We get the candy lip guy trying to defend his candy, his terrible candy. That's a bad candy. Don't know how they still exist. Then we also see the 77X42.
Well, as you can see, I have created a lemon ball so sour it can only be safely contained in a magnetic field. The candy known as 77X42 is great. Where the hell is the candy?
I don't know.
Homer's face is particularly...
It's like his entire face has collapsed in on itself. It's like the black hole of sour candies.
This entire sequence is largely based on visuals, but
yeah.
it's really cool looking. They did a good job.
Also, I love that sound, that womp, 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 womp. It really makes me feel like it's super science-y.
It makes me think of a Hypnotoad.
Wow, wow, wow. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's the same sound.
It's like it's a voo-voo, like the voo-voo-zillas.
Yeah, voo-voo-zillas.
That's the right way to
say
it.
Yeah, those things.
Good, got it. Marge is almost kicked out because she's eating celery. How dare she?
How dare she?
But we finally, it is revealed the treasure of the gummy section, I guess, of the candy convention is the gummy Venus de Milo. It is a...
And not the gummy jawbreakers, which I don't understand.
I'd be curious. Homer wants to steal. He wants the Venus de Milo. We get to the plot of this episode where Homer is unfairly accused, but he did steal that. Like, that is something he did indeed do.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I'm sure he would be arrested. I mean, I imagine that is pretty dang valuable.
Although, I can't imagine, carving a Venus de Milo out of a chunk of gummy couldn't be that hard. I mean, it seems reproducible.
That's true. I mean, people do that out of graphite, so I can't imagine. You could make a mold. It's a gummy.
Yeah, exactly. But he steals... He asks Marge for cover. She unwillingly provides it by her coat exploding. And then Homer uses the opportunity to steal the gummy Venus, and they escape the trade show via a explosion, like an action movie. He combines Pop Rocks and soda, and it explodes the convention center, just like in real life.
Yep, just like it does in your stomach.
I really thought for a while as a child that this actually did create.
It was Diet Coke and Mentos.
Not this level of explosion, but... probably actually comparable to a Mentos and Diet Coke reaction, which is actually turns out is real. So the Simpsons are right all along. The kids get home with what's left. The parents get home with what's left of the candy. The kid, and both Bart and Lisa are ecstatic and are like,
"What's left of the candy? You mean the giant pile?"
Well, it's not nearly as much as there was. True. Okay, Marge loses like half of it. Homer has to drive the babysitter home. And how does he actually lose track of where the Venus de Milo goes? That's the thing. Like, he just
did... I guess in the confusion of running away, he was just like, "Oh, let me put this here." And
yeah, so she is particularly grossed out by Homer just because of him at first. Like, she just wants to get out of the car. It's not like she thinks he's the level of monster she later accuses him of, but he is just like being kind of a
crude as can be.
He asks her to drive so he can scratch himself at two places at once.
Yeah.
So she asks to be let out. So he pulls over, lets her out. He sees that the Venus de Milo is on her butt, and he grabs it. She mistakes this for sexual harassment because Homer is like it is creepy, but it's not creepy in the way that she thinks it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, don't worry, he's not objectifying you, he's just objectifying the candy.
But it's still candy attached to a person's butt, like...
Yeah, the correct thing to be would be like, "Hey, by the way, my candy's on your butt, can I have that?" She proceeds to immediately eat.
I would say, can I have that is not... That's also problematic, I think. You shouldn't be asking, "Hey, there's candy on your butt. You might want to get it off and throw it away." Not, "Can I have it to eat?" That's...
Well, to Homer, that was a very important piece of candy. I would be like, "No, that's been like on your butt, between the seat and your butt, and I'm sure you've sweated all over it by now, so you can go ahead and throw it away." But to Homer, that is a very important
piece. I know, but even if he acted like in the best possible way, it could still possibly be construed as sexual harassment in a way. It's...
Yeah.
But Homer doesn't think anything of it, even though Ashley is horrified. She runs away, honestly yelling or screaming, I believe. They wake up the next day. The kids are sick because they ate all that candy, and there's still more. And Homer is... there's an uproar outside.
"Oh no, the candy conventioners tracked us down.
There he is! There's the man that sexually harassed me!"
"Oh, no!"
For a minute there, I thought I was in big trouble. It's just a...
"No!"
And with that, we go to commercial.
And when we come back, we get to hear this wonderful chant that the protesters have come up with.
2, 4, 6, 8! Homer's crime was very great! Great, meaning large or immense, we use it in the pejorative sense!
I learned something about grammar this day when I was first watching this episode.
Anytime someone uses the word pejorative, I'm a fan. I like the word pejorative. It's a good word.
It's a fun word.
It's a good word.
Is it pejorative or pejorative? Is there an R in there?
There's no R. I always pronounce it pejorative. It's P-E-J, okay. But I believe it's pa, like a pa-a, P-a, like gotcha. A soft A sound. But don't quote me on that. There's probably...
So in an effort to defuse the situation, Homer goes outside to tell them that he's not such a bad guy. He tries to explain himself and what happened, but they don't believe him because they call it the oldest excuse in the butt that he was trying to grab a gummy Venus de Milo stuck to her pants. Apparently, these people are dealing with a book that's a little different from my standard book. But unfortunately for poor Homer, after claiming that he's a good guy, he is, of course, in his bathrobe and bare slippers and nothing underneath, of course. The wind blows up and he is exposed to the assemblage, causing at least one woman to faint. And then they go back inside.
In Bart's girlfriend, we also got a male upskirt wind situation.
It's true. There's a lot of penises hanging out in Springfield, a gust away.
Yeah, not great. Not great.
You're not so hungry anymore, are you?
No, I'm still hungry.
Okay, good. So Homer goes back inside with the family, and he tries to explain to the kids what sexual harassment is using ads. Apparently, there was a woman biting an alligator's bottom
What was that?
A woman's bottom.
What? A lady
on a postcard.
Oh, okay.
It's only okay for a woman to bite an alligator's bottom, and there are several restaurants that cater to that. But for an alligator to touch a woman, that is the alligator sexually harassing that woman. And apparently there's also a dog on a Coppertone ad doing something similar, which Homer calls a gray area. I would probably still consider that
It's a dog. It doesn't know it doesn't know any better. It's innocent.
Neither does the alligator. So I think they're both kind of gray areas. Unless you're saying that alligators understand and perpetuate.
No, alligators are inherently evil and you know, are active sexual harassers. Yes, that is exactly exactly what I'm saying, Matt.
So Homer's right. Wow. I didn't expect that.
Yep.
Anyway, Homer exclaims to the protesters that they can't keep him from living his life. So he drives to work. They're in the car with him. And then they're at his workstation harassing him as he tries to work. Smithers offers to kick them out, but Homer says they're with him, which is very magnanimous of Homer. Really, he didn't have to do that. But I guess it's just funny. Poor Homer.
Homer believes in the right to assembly and speech, even to his own.
To be fair, that only takes place on public property. They really have no rights whatsoever to be inside the power plant.
Homer, like many Americans, is confused about what the Bill of Rights actually means.
That must be true, because there are quite a few Americans that are confused about that. That night, Homer is distraught, essentially. He asks Marge to help, and Marge tells him that, she tried talking to the indignation coordinator on the lawn, because there's some very organized protesters, but they were unreceptive to Marge's cajoling, and the only thing that Marge can do is stick by him and believe in him, and other than that, he's on his own. And Homer is not used to this.
I'm on my own. I've never been on my own. Oh no, unknown. I need help. Oh God, help me. Help me, God.
Yellow.
Hello, Homer. This is God. Brady Jones from the TV magazine show Rock Bottom. We're aware of your problems, and Mr. Simpson, we want to help.
I saw that report you did on Sasquatch. It was fair and even-handed. I'll do it!
Okay, that is wonderful for at least two reasons. One, because the yellow, the very, very slow hello. And two, because I guarantee that the person who does Godfrey Jones's voice is also the person who does God's voice in Homer the Heretic. So it really does sound like God is calling Homer.
Maybe, yeah. It does sound very similar.
Especially
at first.
I'm sure it's Hank Azaria or
Harry Shearer. Harry
Shearer. Sure. Yeah.
It's the any really like bass or baritone voices are generally Harry Shearer, because he has a naturally deeper voice.
Fair enough. So Homer, of course, believes in TV, and he thinks that Rock Bottom or television in general would do no wrong. So he goes there, and they do basically he explains himself very succinctly. But unfortunately for Homer, he gives in to his gorging side, I guess you could say, where he starts salivating to the thought of the gummy Venus, and they, of course, get it on tape. And then later, when the family is watching, they see that Rock Bottom has misrepresented him slightly.
Somebody had to take the babysitter home. Then I noticed she was sitting on her sweet can. I grab her sweet can. Oh, just thinking about her can. I just wish I had her sweet can.
So, Mr. Simpson, you admit you grabbed her can. What do you have to say in your defense? Mr. Simpson, your silence will only incriminate you further. No, Mr. Simpson, don't take your anger out on me. Get back! Mr. Simpson, no!
Dramatization may not have happened.
I love this gag because it's great there, but it's also a very visual gag, because they did the main crime in television is you never ever have a clock in view, because it makes your edits extremely obvious, especially in the days of VCR, which I guess they used to do this. You can see that the tape is paused while Homer is silent and attacking Godfrey Jones. That's television for you, sleazy television journalists.
Well, this episode really, like, apparently. This originally, the idea of this episode was basically Lisa versus Homer on feminism.
Oh.
And it grew, it moved, shifted until it became about like witch hunts and media turning into all tabloids. And I'm happy to report, since 1994, the media outlets have all gotten a lot better, you know, more accountable, and definitely only report on newsworthy things.
Absolutely. You guys might know the Bastion of Integrity, TMZ. They cover all the wonderful things that NGOs are doing in developing countries, helping people. We have no idea what celebrities are like at all, thanks to the dearth of people covering them.
Frankly, I'm joking, but TMZ is actually they're upfront about what they are.
That's true. They're not pretending.
TMZ is like sleazy, but they're honest about how sleazy they are. Like if you That's watch true. Any news channel on television, they are the same, but they act like they're not.
They act like they're better than that. Yeah.
Hot takes. We're looking at you. Hot takes in today's episode, folks. The news is whatever. But this the episode
That's
really
right, we're tearing them down.
But this episode, like, I think that it does. Like, the witch hunting portion of this with Ashley going after Homer, although, frankly, from her point of view, she is, you know, accurate. Like, it.
Yeah, she's right. I mean, as the facts, as she saw them, she is reacting to them appropriately. As we'll see in a later episode, thank God everyone is taping everyone else, which is happening even more now.
Yes.
Anyway, after this rock bottom dramatization, the family is a little perturbed. Homer tells the kids to go pack their bags. They are going to start a new life under the sea.
We're going to start a new life under the sea. Under the sea, there'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Homer, that's your solution to everything, to move under the sea. It's not gonna happen.
Not with that attitude.
Homer, you can't live under the sea and eat everything under the sea. I'm sorry, that's just not the way it works.
I think it does, Matt. Science.
Of course. I'll let you school me on that later on.
Good.
Anyway. Good.
Can't wait.
After the rock bottom report, tons of news crews show up to the Simpson household to stake it out to see if they can get basically the worst of the worst Homer, trying to get him doing the most awful things for ratings. They start invading their privacy. They spread rumors about Homer in an oxygen tent, which he believes gives him sexual powers.
Well, this is apparently
a half-truth.
Well, it's a reference to Michael Jackson, who apparently slept in an oxygen chamber to extend his life, not for sexual powers, although I don't know.
That might keep your life going longer, so you might be more sexually active.
I'm curious which half is true for Homer.
Right. We then see a wonderful talk show with a bear that has a microphone on his head.
I want this show. Why isn't there an actual show with a bear talk show host?
Because what happens in this show would for sure happen in any real talk show, as Ben goes on a rampage and brutally mauls at least a couple people that we see.
The writers intended this to reflect that television hosts don't need to actually be able to speak to do their job. They just have to have
producers and guests. You don't need any actual hosts.
You just need a thing with a microphone on it. There's also a television series, Gentle Ben, but it was about a boy who becomes friends with a bear. It was not a talk show.
Everyone loves bears. That's what it comes down to.
They're cute.
Once we get through the talk show circuit, apparently, we see that a movie has been made of Homer called Homer S. Portrait of an Ass Grabber, with Dennis Franz as Homer. And in this loosely based film, the Simpson car is even more wrecked than usual. And Dennis Franz as Homer is going all over the road and runs over a cat because, of course, he would. He then basically assaults the Ashley Grant stand-in And he does a very, very good creepy person, Dennis Franz does. I think he does a great job here.
He does.
Because it is literally terrifying.
It is also, it's also reminiscent of Bart the Murderer, where they have, yes, they have Doogie Howser play, yeah, play Bart.
Neil Patrick Harris as Bart.
And
where do you want it, Skinner?
Exactly. So it's similar there. It works just as well. I like it both.
Yeah. We then see the channel, what is it, Channel 6? Is that their TV news channel?
No idea.
Probably?
Can't anyway, remember.
Pretty sure Channel 6. They turn an infrared camera on the house, and they see the Simpson family watching TV as a family, and then a turkey in the oven, which Kent Brockman, of course, assumes is Homer, which apparently he is basting himself and has risen to 400 degrees, which don't think that's human. But if it is, wow, that'd be quite the scoop. Then Homer's friends all show up to the protesters outside the house, and at first, the family believes they're coming to defend him, but it turns out that Mo, Barney, and a couple of others have come to sell Homer's real dirty secrets, and the bidding starts at 10 G's. Because, hey,
that's a lot of money.
Opportunity to make a little money, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, Homer believes he doesn't have any friends in the world, but his family is still there for him. But they hesitate when he says that they still believe him. And of course, Bart and Lisa's response is, well, it's hard not to believe TV. It spent so much more time raising us than you have. Which Homer, you know, agrees is fair and then leaves the room and the kids go to hug the TV, which they deny when Homer asks. And then we go to commercial.
When we come back, Homer is rough looking. He has the look of Secrets of a Successful Marriage look kind of going, where he's like really ragged and he's watching television. He's being joked about, being parodied all over television. David Letterman's getting in on it. Bumblebee Man. He briefly shelters himself in Evening at the Improv, which is a comedy from at least a decade prior to this episode. It was convincingly dumb and bad about ET references. Mr. T and ET. It's a good relevant reference.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's very topical. It's only a decade old.
Only a decade. And Marge comes in with the kids, with the kids who have an idea to help Homer.
Homer, the kids have a great idea how you can clear your name.
The media's making a monster out of you because they don't care about the truth. All they care about is entertainment. Well, you need a form where they don't even know the meaning of the word entertainment. Public access television.
But those shows all look so crummy.
Well, we can dress it up a bit. We can bring a fern and a folding chair from the garage and the most decorative thing of all, the truth.
Which there's
it's true. The truth is the most decorative thing of all.
The rest of the family just stares at Marge in confusion when she says that. We cut to the public access station, I guess what it is, and Homer makes a plea direct to the people.
Now it's time for the Innocence Report with Homer Simpson.
Hello, I am Homer Simpson. Or as some of you wags have dubbed me, Father Goose. You know, everybody believed the worst about me right away. Nobody cares that I didn't do it, but I did it. Okay, look, I've done some bad things in my life, but harassing women is not one of them. Like one time, they're having this race with this stupid old-timey bicycle with the big wheel in front. So I figure, we'll see about that. So I get this big chunk of cinder block, and I... Oh, gotta go. Innocent.
That's the last word he said, so obviously it's the truth. There's a record number of calls at the public access station. It is two. One is a telemarketer, and the other person is the wrong number. Not great. Homer is making homemade Prozac when the door. Someone's at the door. It turns out to be a gentleman riding an old-timey bicycle who kicks Homer in the face. Not very polite.
No, but Homer has shown enmity for his type before, so he's just getting him back.
Although, I guess the Simpsons are ahead of the curve again, because there are people nowadays who are riding those types of bicycles.
Yeah.
People with hipsters, you may call them.
we'll just call them hipsters.
It's hipsters. But then another person shows up, and it is Willie, Groundskeeper Willie, who has evidence that would exonerate Homer, but it is from him surreptitiously, secretly videotaping people.
To be fair, they are in public places.
I guess that's true. What we see, that is true. It is still basically indefensible, but it does provide Homer with the evidence he needs to exonerate himself.
Dad, this clears you completely.
You know, the courts might not work anymore, but as long as everybody is videotaping everyone else, justice will be done.
See?
Homer, I thought you were an animal, but your daughter said you were a decent man. I guess she was right.
You're both right.
So Homer,
that's completely wrong. That is how the courts work. When you prevent evidence, then they drop the charges. So the courts do work. You just actually have to have the evidence.
Well, the problem is there was no court case for this. This is the court of public opinion, Matt.
Right.
And that's
to be fair, she would have had to have some sort of proof that Homer did what he said. So,
Well, you don't need that evidence in the court of public opinion a lot of the time. I think that's what they're trying to get.
True.
At. Okay, glad you agree with me. Everyone is satisfied by the evidence, and Rock Bottom makes some corrections about their case, which we will get to in a bit. And then they set their sights on a new person.
Rock Bottom would like to make the following corrections.
Wow, VHS isn't one of its gasoline.
And Ted Koppel is a robot.
That's you, Dad. Yay!
Tomorrow on Rock Bottom, he's a foreigner who takes perverted videos of you when you least suspect it. He's Rowdy Roddy Peeper.
Oh, that man is sick.
Groundskeeper Willie saved you, Homer.
But listen to the music. He's evil.
Hasn't this experience taught you can't believe everything you hear?
Marge, my friend, I haven't learned a thing.
So true.
Let's never fight again.
So that is the sound of Homer hugging the television.
Well, you gotta hug your TV every once in a while
to end the episode. Homer doesn't learn a thing. I like the ending. If you ever go on Facebook and look at your wall, it is full of people who obviously are believing everything they read immediately.
Well, if you don't, you're a cynic, Robbie. Obvious. Yeah,
of course. I'm a skeptic. How dare I not trust random Facebook posts from websites called learnnewthings.com. It's a verifiable, very good news source. It's a good episode. It's very prescient. Like a lot of classic Simpsons episodes, like it criticizes something that has only gotten worse with time and still very relevant.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot. It's funny. I don't know where to rank it really.
It's going to be tough.
We're going to have to talk it out, which we will do at the end of the show. No submissions for this for my favorite episode. If you do have a particular episode that is your favorite, please submit why at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com, and I will read it on air when we get to that episode. Next up, it is time for comments from the news group.
Okay, here we are. Alt.nerd.obsessive.
Comments from the news group is where I will comb through the old alt.tv.simpsons news group, see what people are talking about during the week or two around the debut of this episode. B grades, you know, I think it was fairly well received. There was some spotty time in the news group around this. There's a lot of missing posts, so I didn't get quite the full scope, I guess, of opinions, but it seemed, what I could find, it seemed they're fine with it, you know. Someone was happy enough to transcribe all the things that Rock Bottom flashed on the screen, all their retractions.
That's pretty awesome.
So here we go. I'm going to read them all. There's quite a bit of them, but People's Choice Awards is America's greatest honor. Styrofoam is not made from kittens. UFO was a paper plate. The nerds on the internet are not geeks. The word cheese is not funny in and of itself. The older Flanders boy is Todd, not Rod. There we go. Lyndon Johnson did not provide the voice of Yosemite Sam. If you are reading this, you have no life. I don't appreciate that sentiment. Roy Rogers was not buried inside his horse. Oh my god. The other UFO is an upside down salad spinner. Other our universities are not hotbeds of anything. Mr. Dershowitz did not literally have four eyes. Our viewers are not pathetic, sexless food tubes. Audrey Hepburn never weighed 400 pounds. Cheers gang is not a real gang. Saltwater does not chase the thirsties away. Pretty good. Licking an electrical outlet would not turn you into a Mighty Morphin Power Ranger. Cats do not eventually turn into dogs. Bolts do not bounce off of fat guys. Recycling does not deplete the ozone. Everything is 10% fruit juice. The fleshing virus does not hide in ice cream. Janet Reno is evil. V8 juice is not when he eats gasoline. Ted Koppel is a robot. Women aren't from Venus and men aren't from Mars. Fleiss does floss. Quail is familiar with common bathroom procedures. Bart is bad to the bone. Godfrey Jones' wife is cheating on him. The Beatles haven't reunited to enter kickboxing competitions. The bug on your TV screen you can see into your home. Everyone on TV is better than you. The people who are writing this have no life. Quite a list. Pretty good, actually, for what it is. But nothing else in particular. Pretty late week. I think that the lack of... I don't know what happens when... Probably some problem with the archival, you know, things wherever they got...
Yeah, things weren't as reliable back then.
Yeah, whatever server things got stored on. Got corrupted, probably, I imagine, when they crossed over to Google Groups. But with that, we move on to our next segment. It's time for the listener question of the week.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow?
KBBL is going to give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
Our listener question of the week this week is, what is your favorite Bart and Lisa moment? Lots and lots of great answers. Always appreciate the responses. Brandon at Bizarro DF. When Bart and Lisa save Itchy and Scratchy from bankruptcy. Wait a second. And then there's a picture of Lester and Eliza. Mikey at Savaging Dolphin. When Bart crashes Lisa's presidential address to promote his band Bart to the Future. I died with laughter. John at Petrie JT. Happy birthday, Lisa, is my all-time favorite moment of the show. It makes my eyes water up every time. Very popular answer. Isaac at Isaac is a good in the touch of death. I grew weary of this new channel. I grew weary of this new channel. Change it back. But Bart, and then. Yeah. Alice at Sarcasm and Toast. That's a good handle. Best Bart Lisa moment. Lisa, as your brother, this is the hardest thing I've ever had to say. You're not ugly. And as an older brother, yes, especially at that age, very rough. Something to admit. See, Holly, absolutely from Bart sells his soul when Bart is crying and clearly has learned the meaning of one's soul. The sheet of paper floats down in front of him and he looks up to see the sweet and bashful Lisa is his salvation, and she sacrificed her piggy bank money to get his soul back from comic book guy. Gets me every time, and he wanted to get her with those expanding dinosaur sponges. Tisk tisk. Sean, going with Summer 442, Lisa comes close to actually murdering Bart for exposing her to her new friends. Shows the maximum limit that she's ever put up with him. Also, great Milhouse moment with him hiding behind the cereal box during the threat, only emerging at the mention of a local carnival. Oh boy, a carnival! Brendan, when Lisa and Bart see Homer with a plunger on his head, and Bart asks Lisa what she is changing her name to before telling her his own idea. Strikes such a chord of solidarity to me, it makes me laugh every time. Steve from Lisa on Ice, when they are both reflecting back on memories. Lisa's a toddler and ice cream falls from her cone and very upset. Bart sees this, moves one scoop of his ice cream onto hers. Love it. Brian, Bart and Leon, quote, Michael Jackson, Kompowski, birthday song for Lisa and Stark Raving Dad. I find myself singing all the time and my friends named Lisa are tired of me sharing this video on their wall every birthday. I don't have any. Do you know any Lisas, Matt?
Yes, I do.
I do not. Tom, season 8, episode 17, My Sister, My Sitter takes their brother-sister rivalry to their most violent peak. Watching Lisa take Bart in a wheelbarrow with Maggie in a doggy carrier case is far worse than anything me and my sister do to each other. Also, Dr. Hibbert, Lisa is not guilty of bad babysitting. Bart deserved everything he got. Matt has his opinion. And finally, we have Gretchen. Because I'm sure Lisa and Ice will be popular, so I'll go with one of my other favorites from Bart Gets an F. Quote, prayer, the last refuge of a scoundrel. And quote, I am no theologian. I don't know who or what God is exactly. All I know is that he's a force more powerful than mom and dad put together, and you owe him big. I am so Lisa it hurts, and growing up, my relationship with my older brother was sometimes complicated and often fraught with violence, a la Lisa on Ice. But in the end, we loved each other, and I just relate so much to Lisa here. Matt, what is your answer?
I'm going to have to actually go with In Separate Vocations, the very end when Bart takes the fall for Lisa. His reason essentially that, you know, she has all the brains in the world to do whatever she wants and she shouldn't screw it up with something small like that. That is essentially Bart has turned his life around and then throws it all away because he knows that no matter what he does, he could never be as good as Lisa. And that's not the greatest message to take away, but that was really big of him. And it's not something you see from him a lot.
You took my answer, Matt.
Oh, really?
That's my answer. My answer is yes. When Bart sacrifices himself at the end of Separate Vocations, I think it is a excellent like foundation for their relationship. Like if you wanted to get to the core of how Bart and Lisa operate, I think Separate Vocations is that. Like it is very mm-hmm. much like at the end of the day, Bart wants Lisa to succeed and vice versa. But because Bart is often the antagonist, seeing him sacrifice in that episode is all
especially more. Since that whole episode is about Bart, you know, turning himself around and then seeing him like, nope, Lisa's worth it. I'm throwing it all away.
Yeah, it's really great. I soft spot my heart for Separate Vocations. Next week's question, what is your favorite media related moment? You know, quote, you know, Kent Brockman or tell anything that they show on television, honestly, television or a movie, you know, in I'm leaving it up to you guys. You guys can media. You can figure it out. You're smart people. Post this question on our social media, facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod, Twitter @SimpsonsShowPod, and email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Any of those places, reach out to us. I post, try and post links to everything and tweet stuff out occasionally when I see Simpsons related things that are interesting. Next up, Matt, are you ready?
I'm ready.
It is time for the No Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-R-T.
The No Google Trivia Challenge is where Matt and I will each try and stump the other with three trivia questions, one easy, one medium, one hard. We will often use a theme. This season we have a wager. Whatever host doesn't win has to mow the other's lawn in their wife's Sunday best. I got it down pat now. Our theme this week is from Neil at Afterthief. Off submits a lot of themes for the show. The theme is Simpsons hobbies in honor of Groundskeeper Willie and his hobby. Quote unquote hobby. I'll start us off, Matt. You ready for an easy question?
I'm ready.
Comic book guy works in what hobby related store?
The comic book store.
What's the name of the comic store?
The Android's Dungeon.
Thank you very much. You have to be technically correct. It is the best kind of
question. Of course. All right. Are you ready for your easy question?
I hope so.
All right. What birthday present did Homer give Marge that already had his name engraved on it?
It's a bowling ball.
Ah, that is correct. A little season one trivia there for you.
Yeah, Some Enchanted Evening. Is that Some Enchanted Evening? I think it is, right?
No, that is...
What's the name of the episode?
Oh.
With Jacques. Albert Brooks.
Names are hard. It is
Some Enchanted Evening is the babysitter one, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Okay, season one. Then...
Life on the Fast Lane.
Life on the Fast Lane, of course, duh. Okay, your medium question, Matt. Name any of the three hobbies prescribed to Rod Flanders in The Dad Who Knew Too Little. There's three of them.
To Rod
Flanders. Ned gives Rod a book, a videotape or whatever, a video. He makes a video for Rod on his birthday. It's about
school. Oh, yes. Okay. I remember the episode now. Playing with his brother.
Is that your final answer?
Being quiet in church. I'm pretty sure those are the two I'm going with.
Well, you only have to
pick one of those?
You can say both, but I would... You answer a question how you'd like. I only need one answer.
All right, I'm going to say playing with his brother.
It's incorrect.
Oh!
The three hobbies listed are being quiet during trips, clapping with songs, and diabetes.
Really? I thought it was being quiet during church.
It is not. It is being quiet during trips.
Clapping. I want to go watch that episode now.
You're so distrustful, Matt. Whenever you give me an answer that I don't know, I just immediately trust that you're right.
What does that tell you about our relative knowledge, Robbie?
I think it tells us more about the fact that I, like, am a nice person, and then you're a monster. No?
Well, we knew that already. Anyway, your medium question, what component of Bart's secret hobby does the Springfield cat burglar steal?
Oh, man. It's one of two things. I really am angry that I can't remember exactly which one it is. It's either stamps or coins. I think. I'm fairly certain. Ooh, man. Stamps.
You are correct, sir.
Thank you, Elias.
You had a 50-50 chance, and you chose correctly.
Yes, I was like, I knew. Well, it's tough. It's a rough one. Okay, Matt, your hard question, which I never know if questions are actually hard for you. In Excuse Me While I Kiss the Sky, Homer buys Lisa a telescope from what hobby store? The number one hobby store in Springfield.
I have no idea.
Teenage Pasteland.
I'm going to have to go watch that episode because I don't remember that at all. I guess I never paid attention to the name.
It is it's a brief sign gag. And it's a nice Who reference. Okay, give me a hard question.
All right, your hard question. What was Bart's jazz name?
Oh, God. I don't know. I don't even have a guess.
Give it up straight off the bat, huh?
Yeah, I don't know.
TikTok.
Yeah, no, that's not happening. what is that from?
I honestly don't know the episode's name at all. It's a later season.
Yep, I don't even recall that whatsoever. I close the gap a little bit. I'm happy about that at least. It is 35-33. Matt is a 2-point.
Oh man, you have to work harder.
2-point lead, but you know, it was a 4-point lead. Now it's only 2. I got to, you know, just got to keep it close within striking distance. It's really my only, you know, Matt is a monster of trivia. You ready for some rapid fire trivia, Matthew?
Jazzy and the Pussycats was the name of the episode. It is season 18, episode 2.
That's the roughest period for me. I have 10 questions for you from John. These are dream sequences and hallucinations.
Ooh, okay.
Homer becomes extremely exhausted working long hours to pay for Lisa's pony. When driving home from work, what fantasy world does Homer enter?
Slumberland?
Correct. During Homer's pepper-induced vision, he encounters a talking coyote voiced by who?
Johnny Cash.
Correct. Where can you find edible light posts, dogs, and rain?
The Land of Chocolate.
Correct. When Lisa gets gassed at the dentist's office, she sees the Beatles crash her submarine into a drawing of what?
Queen Victoria?
Correct. Finish the Marge quote, I've got to stop fantasizing about...
Lee Majors.
Correct. Homer has a dream that he's strangling Mr. Burns, but quickly transforms into a dream about what?
Pancakes.
Correct. Chief Wiggum has a bizarre dream that reveals a clue about who shot Mr. Burns, who appears in his dream.
Lisa.
Correct. Name one of the 5 political powers Homer threatens Mr. Burns with while trapped in the cabin. Just one.
One of the 5, what now?
Of the 5 political powers Homer threatens Mr. Burns with while trapped in the cabin in the Mountains of Madness. I've got powers. Political powers.
Right, you mean the people?
Yes.
That appear behind him?
Yes.
Oh, okay. George Washington.
Nope.
Really?
Mao Zedong, Abe Lincoln, Teddy Roosevelt, Ramses II/Tut, and Gandhi. Oh, this is pointing, Matt. Right, when Bart regains his soul, whose soul does he knock overboard?
Whose soul? Martin?
Correct. Marge has a troubling vision of Bart's future as a male stripper. What is his stripper name?
Bang Bang Bart.
That is correct. I can't believe you get a Mountains of Madness question wrong. Matt, I'm just ashamed of you.
I know. I'm so sad.
You're one of your favorite episodes and you can't even get all the... I have asked you that exact question before as well, I believe. Something similar. Probably it was harder. I probably made you name all of them or something. but it's 9 out of 10. I guess that's okay. No, if you're fine.
I know. I'm so sad.
If you're fine with A minuses, jeez. But yeah, if you have a theme or questions you want to send us, just send them into our email or aforementioned social media, any of those places. We'll get them. It is time, Matt, for our final segment. Segment we end every episode with. It is time for best episode ever.
Best episode ever.
Best episode ever is part of the show where Matt and I. We'll rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. Where does this one go, Matt?
I have no idea.
Okay. I think Bart the Murderer is an excellent starting point, at least, which is number 41 on our list. I'm not saying it's worse or better. I'm just saying I made that comparison, you know, earlier. I think it is, I want to say it's better than that.
I think so.
But I would say we can start there. It's roughly, you know, it's slightly above halfway through our list. I think maybe Springfield's another good Springfield with a dollar sign. I think that's another good comparison because it is, you know, that's tackling gambling and is largely focused on one character, Marge.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I kind of feel like Bart's Girlfriend is another good place to start because it's about one character being ostracized for something they didn't even do.
It's also a good point.
It has more of a real antagonist, but
that's true.
I don't know. With the whole candy trade show, it just elevates this above all. Is that in the Rock Bottom and the freeze frame gag? I really enjoyed those.
How about? Yeah, I would definitely. I don't think it's better. I would put it above Bart's Girlfriend. I don't know if I'd put it above Boy Scouts in the Hood, though.
I don't think so. Boy Scouts in the Hood is just such a strong episode. It's got a great Bart Homer vibe. And in this one, it's mostly concentrated on Homer. And it's really more of a critique of the tabloid media than anything else. And while most of the jokes are pretty funny, they're just not, I don't know, it's missing a little bit of heart.
It's a very good episode, but it is about that. It is not really about much of anything else, although it is very funny. I'm all the jokes still work really, really, really well. And there's the song Under the Sea, another great song. I think the song in Boy Scouts in the Hood is better than the song in Homer Bad Man, but I think that's splitting hairs. So number 33, we okay with that?
I think that works.
Okay. Homer Bad Man, right above Bart's Girlfriend, right below Boy Scouts in the Hood. Number one is still Cape Fear. But again,
not going anywhere.
There's competition. We're just every single week, you know, you never know. Anything can happen.
Fair enough.
What is our next episode in that?
Let's see. Let me check our list here. Next episode is Grandpa versus Sexual Inadequacy. Oh boy.
This is, should be a good one. I'm looking forward to it. I remember this episode being much later. I always do.
Yeah.
I always think of it as a much later. I don't know. We'll talk about it. Before we go, you can find me on Twitter at MixmasterCereal. That's MixmasterCereal. And please check out my comic book podcast. It is Handsome Boys Comics Hour, handsomeboyscomicshour.com on iTunes, etc. You know, you guys are listening to a podcast. You know how to find a podcast. Matt does not.
We hope you do.
Well, yes, we do hope. Matt does not participate in social media unless you're a certain level of Patreon backer. You will not find him.
That's true. However, this weekend I have decided I will be attending a cheese festival. So if you carve your message into a block of Gouda, maybe I'll find it.
Yeah, but it's in DeLand.
That's true, but cheese. And very cheap cheese at that.
DeLand?
Hey, I'll go a long way for cheese.
There's no reason to go to DeLand, ever.
Well, I've already been there for work, so there's at least one reason.
Oh, that's even worse. With that, I think we'll call it a day. I'm Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching the subsets.